Well, good evening. It's good to see you all again. Happy New Year and all that. But we're here to worship, we are. So let's hear from the scriptures, then we'll pray, and then we'll sing together. This is Psalm 90, a psalm of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, we worship and adore and love you with grateful hearts, that in heaven and over earth, the Lord is God, from everlasting to everlasting, that there is no one who is God besides you. What a relief, what a security, what a treasure this is to contemplate in our own hearts and minds, that one whose heart is so full of mercy, patience, truth, light, grace, love, this loving union of three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are God over all, from everlasting to everlasting, and that will never change. We thank you, Lord, for this security and peace that you give to your people. We ask, Lord, that this evening, as we contemplate the turning of a new year, that you would keep forefront of our minds the unchanging nature of our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that we might hear from the Holy Spirit this evening, and so see the Lord Jesus Christ as lifted up, as sufficient and necessary and given to all of us. We pray in his name. Amen. We're thinking this evening of things like, you know, priorities for the new year, things like that. So turn with me for our first reading to Proverbs chapter 3, which gives us some amazing wisdom for us facing the new year and how we're to think about ourselves and how we're going to handle things. Proverbs is full of wisdom, and chapter 3 is where we are for our reading. So Proverbs 3 from verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Amen. May God bless his reading to us and teach us these lessons, that looking into the new year, we're to trust the Lord and walk in his ways and look to him for wisdom to guide us and lead us every day. Now, our second reading, Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll read from verse 13 to the end. In this section here, the Lord Jesus asks that question of his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter answers and says, "You are the Christ." And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, you are the rock." He identifies Peter as the rock on which the New Testament church would be built. His personal essential role to the founding of the New Testament church. And then he moves on to say, by the end of the chapter, it talks about the necessity of following Jesus Christ. So, Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ, Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the scribes, the elders, and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us and teach us to take up our cross and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn with me then in your Bibles, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 21. John's Gospel, chapter 21. Don't worry, I haven't skipped the rest of John in our series. I'm just having a quick peek now at John chapter 21 for today, and we'll carry on with the series, God willing, next week. John chapter 21. Before we read it, let me ask you, what is your priority going to be in 2024? I'm going to look after my home, get it nice and comfy. I'm going to look after my family, make sure they're all well and looked after. I'm going to try and make as much money as I possibly can, get some financial security for the future. I'm going to work on my career, try to make something of myself, promotions, try and beat my rival in work. I'm going to find love, Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. Going to find the one for me. I'm going to work on myself. Self-improvement. I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to get fit and strong. I'm going to go to therapy. Get some sort of mental resilience or something. I'm going to work hard in school. I'm going to forget school. I'm going to work on my high scores on my video games. I'm going to just try and get to the end of the year. What's your focus? What's your plans? What's your priority? I want you to think about that for yourself now. What are you thinking for 2024? What are you going to focus on? And now ask yourself, if we all did that, if we all had the same priority as you, would that be good for us all? In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus tells us what our priority for 2024 must be. Let's see, verse 2, we have the Apostle Peter. Peter is fishing for his breakfast. I think it's funny, it's as if the last few years haven't even happened. Excuse me. It's like the last few years haven't happened with the Son of God being born, calling him to become a disciple, following him around, seeing all the amazing things, the transfiguration, the raising of the dead, the crucifixion of the Son of God and so forth. But now he's just back fishing. What's coming in the next year for Peter? What's in the next 12 months for him? He's going to be a busy man, isn't he? Did anyone have more to do in the next year than Peter in all the world? In Matthew 16, Jesus identified him as the rock on which he would build his church. Peter was personally foundational to the early church. So much was falling on his shoulders at this moment. What did he get up to in the following year? Do you remember? What sort of things can you remember from those early chapters of the book of Acts? What things did Peter get up to in the following year? He preached at Pentecost, the first New Testament sermon after Jesus was ascended. He baptized thousands of people into the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Thousands. Thousands. Can you imagine thousands of conversions in the first year? He healed the lame. He raised the dead. Is that on your agenda for this year? Peter raised the dead. He stood up in front of the Sanhedrin. We talked about them this morning, didn't we? The top 70 in all Israel. And he was a fisherman on his own, standing up against them. He laid hands on the very first deacons. He cared for the persecuted church in Jerusalem, looking after them, caring for them. He brought the Holy Spirit to Samaria. And all that was just the first year. In later years, he navigated the outbreak of the gospel to the whole world, to the Gentiles. He helped to guide and lead the Jerusalem Council at that most precious, delicate, and sensitive time. He wrote epistles to build up the church for the rest of time. We still read them today. He dictated his gospel to Mark, as far as we can tell. He was beaten for Jesus, imprisoned for Jesus, and finally gave his life a martyr for Jesus. He was killed for him. And here he is in John 21, fishing. And he hasn't caught anything. When Jesus comes into the scene in John 21, do you know why he comes? It is in part to prepare Peter for the next year. And we're going to draw our own instruction from it as well, when we think, what does Jesus have for us to prioritize in 2024? Whether we might expect, whatever we might expect of 2024, Jesus teaches us the priorities that we ought to have. So, John chapter 21, from verse 14 to 22. Now, this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And that's our text for this evening, verse 22. You follow me. Given what the Holy Spirit has put onto Peter's to-do list, how might we expect Jesus to prepare Peter? "Peter, got a busy year. Make some good friends. You're going to need them. Peter, you got a busy year, and people will bring you all of their money. People are going to sell everything they have and give it to you, so budget wisely. Learn how to use a spreadsheet. Watch out for those priests. Some of them will be converted, but some of them will be out for you. Peter, the gospel's going to break out into the Gentiles, so you should really invest into some cross-cultural programs. Here's how to handle the whole Gentile thing. Here's how to do a council with all the other apostles. And don't sell your leather-making tools. Although you're an apostle and you're going to be very busy, you're going to need those as well." All that advice we might expect, but he doesn't say that. What does the great apostle Peter need ringing in his ears if he is to help pilot the church into global, uncharted territory? What does he need if he's going to do battle with Satan, with pagans, and with death? "You follow me." I love that. It's so simple. Exactly the same words that he first heard from Jesus, he hears them now. The same words which began this adventure with the Lord are still needed now. "As you started, that's how you are to go on," Jesus says to Peter. "You follow me. Just like in the beginning, you followed me. Now, follow me." Colossians 2, verse 6, one of my favorites. "As you began in the Lord, so walk in him." As you started following him, keep on following him. What are your priorities for 2024? There is a lot to do for your family. There's a lot of change ahead, maybe. There's a lot to do for church and for your career, a lot to do at home. There are things to prepare for. There are crises that you might have to handle. There are opportunities that you're going to have to consider taking advantage of. But what do you need? What do you need front and center? What do you need ringing in your ears? What do you need when you are raising your children? When you're looking after your ailing spouse? When you're soldiering through your own sickness? When you're trying to evangelize to your neighbors? When you're trying to serve the poor? When you're working on your marriage? When you're working on your grades? When you're working on where's my life going? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? In it all, over it all, follow Jesus. You follow me. Does that mean I have to abandon all my other priorities? Are Christians meant to put their career on hold because they're so busy following Jesus? Are we supposed to say, well, never mind finding love, I'm following Jesus? Well, not necessarily. It might mean that for some people, but not necessarily. What it means is that we submit all of our priorities to this one. You follow me. Now, personally, on an individual level, this does not mean dryly wading through monotonous, quiet times because we have to. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is reading your Bible like the Lord is sat next to you. Praying consciously, praying knowing that he is listening to us. It means making our decisions that we have to make sensitive to his providence, sensitive to his preferences, keeping Jesus' interests in mind, thinking things like, what would he think about this? How might this impact my following Jesus? In the late 1600s, there was a Christian who lived in Paris by the name of Brother Lawrence, and he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. You can get it for 50p today, still in print. He speaks in this book about forming a habit of conversing with the Lord continually, organizing all of our business that they might be little acts of communion with him. And I suppose what Brother Lawrence is getting at here is that we are following Jesus first and foremost, and everything else, whether that be washing the dishes or sorting your garden out, whether it be working on your relationships or whatever it is, we're following Jesus. Now, this applies to us as a church as well. Because like everybody else, and like Peter himself as well, we have a long to-do list. What do you think we have to do this year? What do you think is on the church's to-do list for 2024? Have you even thought about it? We have thousands of people to proclaim the good news to. There are poor people to feed. There are children to teach and sinners to convert. There are songs to sing. There are books to read. There are prayers to pray. There are meetings to meet. But this must be our priority. We follow Jesus. And part of this means that we are supposed to discern between could and should. There are countless things that we could do as a church. But what we should do is a matter of following Jesus. Being sensitive to his priorities, to his providence, to his guidance. Sticking close to him. This is what Peter did. This is how he did what he did. It's how the apostles did what they did. They followed Jesus, stuck close to him, listening out for him, watching his providence, walking in step with the Spirit. Now, practically, that needs agonizing patience and prayer. But that's what it is to follow Jesus and to submit all of our priorities to him. I've got an example for you. An example of the apostles doing just this. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. I'll read it to you. Acts 16, verses 6 to 10. Now, when Paul and company had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. There's Paul and company traveling through Phrygia and Galatia. Now, naturally, they could go further into Asia. But they were prevented by who? The Holy Spirit. So they thought, well, we could evangelize Bithynia. But they were prevented by who? The Holy Spirit. And depending on your translation, it might even say, by the Spirit of Jesus. Here they are, disciples of Jesus, following Jesus. They had good priorities in mind, but following Jesus meant not doing these things that they wanted at this time. Paul had this dream in verse 9, and the whole group talked about it, deliberated about this dream, and concluded not only that they could, but they should go into Macedonia in verse 10. Following Jesus means that we set our plans and our priorities by him. But the thing is, there really is so much to do. Personally, our lives are busy as a church. There's so much we could do, so much we should do as well. Aren't we oversimplifying it by saying, just follow Jesus? Wouldn't the Father be happy that I prioritize overcoming my besetting sin? Wouldn't the Father be happy that I prioritize inviting my friends to church, that I prioritize growing in grace, that I read my Bible through 6 times this year? What if it's my last year on earth? Wouldn't the Lord want me to do this, that, and the other? Shouldn't we really focus, regardless of anything else, on reaching the village of Masikuma with the gospel, of finishing our extension, of teaching the school children the word of God? There really is so much fruit to bear for the Lord. How do we balance all of these priorities? How do we know what we should do? Well, for that, I'm going to ask you to turn to John's Gospel again, but this time to chapter 15, John chapter 15. I just got 2 verses for you there, because it is important, you see, to bear fruit in all of these different ways that we imagine, in all the different priorities we might have, to personally develop, to spiritually mature, to grow as a church in obedience and holiness. These priorities will all be seen in many different practical ways, as we can imagine. But Jesus tells us exactly how to balance all these priorities in John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What is the first priority? It is not to bear fruit. It is to abide in him. We must know, understand, and realize that apart from him we can do nothing. And then, only then, when we are abiding in him, following him, trusting him, putting him first and foremost, listening to him, then we bear fruit. It's a natural consequence. As natural as a vine bearing grapes through its branches. The first priority in 2024 is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the rest will come. It is followers who bear fruit, not activists. It is devotees who grow in grace, not busybodies. It's disciples who make progress, not do-gooders. We're following Jesus. Personally, and as a church family, this means that whatever comes our way in 2024, whether it is change or monotony, stability or disruption, there's happiness or sadness, we make our business to know, to follow, to abide in, to trust Jesus Christ. As we began in him, so we walk in him. Settled in him, calibrating our decisions by him, making sure our preferences, our aspirations, our ambitions, our goals are all set by him. So how is that going to look for you? Because it's going to be different for all of us. How do you think that's going to work out in your life? Now, for some of us, it means that we're going to start reading our Bibles at all, or more. It might mean that we start coming to more of the prayer meetings, or just praying in the prayer meeting, or praying at all. It might mean that we give more time to family devotions. That's something I'm going to try and do this year. Means we might use our gifts for others in the church, or it might be that we'll exercise the humility to let other people serve us in the church. But whatever it may be, whatever it may mean for us, it is all under the heading of following Jesus, submitting to his will in our life, listening out for his will. All right, I'm going to play this and then we're done, okay? What New Year's resolution should I make? Follow Jesus is hardly very specific, is it? But thankfully, it's not the only thing that Peter was told to do by Jesus. Jesus told him to do more than just follow me. Did you notice as we went through? What else did he tell him? In verses 15 to 17, he says it three times. Follow me is only one thing. He also said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus is telling Peter to serve his church like a shepherd looks after sheep. Now, there is something here specific and unique for Peter, a calling for him and him alone. But by these words, Jesus is indicating to us, he reveals to us, that the arena for following him and obeying him with devotion, where that happens, is the flock. It's the church. This is where we do it. So here's your New Year's resolution, if I dare give you one. Put all of your eggs in this basket. To have more to do with the church family following Jesus together. A friend of mine has made it his resolution to go to church every Sunday for a year. That's a good resolution. That would be amazing if you can do that. Imagine the change that will make for someone. It's going to be different for everybody, putting this into practice. Might mean that you get into the children's work or the lunch club. It might mean that you just get here on Sunday. It might mean that you join the communion rota to help set up or pray in the prayer meeting. It might mean that you just send encouraging messages around people in church. You might start visiting people who are shut in, or some of you I know are just working on chatting to people in the congregation to bless them like that. But through it all, following Jesus, we're making that the priority. That's the first and foremost. We're abiding in him, seeing what does he want me to do. That is the common priority as we together read and pray, listen, serve, sing, and obey together. Would you like help in all of that? Would you like help working out what it is you need to do? Hope so. So let me give you two chapters for you to read and to think about when you go home. Some of you know where I'm going because I bang on about this a lot. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you go home, think about that chapter, especially verse 7, which says, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each of us for the benefit of everyone else. That means that you have what we need. Do you believe that? We need you. It's true. We as a church family are only fully functioning when you are using your gifts for us. That should be very encouraging. The other chapter to think about is Romans chapter 12, especially verses 1 and 8, and of those, especially verses 6 to 8, which tells us that the gifts of the Spirit that Jesus has given to us are meant to be used in the church. Get on with it, he says. Use them. Many people struggle to find confidence in identifying and using their gifts of the Spirit in church. Do you? Or are you all pretty confident? If you struggle with identifying or using your gifts in church, well, come and speak to me about it or speak to someone else about it. And in the meantime, just get on with something or start something. Try stuff in church, doing good to people and for people. Do what you can for people and for the church, all following Jesus. And just keep trying stuff till it sticks. And you'll, before you know it, you'll be walking in the way that Jesus has laid out for you. So there you have it. Church is the arena for following Jesus Christ. And this is how to do it. Abide in him. Trust him. Follow him. Draw from him all the power, all the gifts, all the guidance that we need to navigate 2024 in a way which is faithful, fruitful, and useful to him and others. In 2024, follow Jesus in the church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to look anywhere else for all the things that we need, but that all the treasures of wisdom are in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given him to us, and that on the first day that we ever heard his voice, to the very last, every day, he says, "Follow me." And every day as we look to him, he gives us our daily bread, he forgives us our trespasses, and he leads us in the way everlasting. Every day he hems us in with the walls of salvation. Every day he washes our feet. Every day he pours out the Holy Spirit from heaven that we may receive him and his gifts. We pray, Father, as we face 2024, that you would get rid from us all of the silly things that we worry and are fearful about, and that you would help us as your people to discern the will of the Lord for us this year, that we would make a priority of abiding in Jesus Christ, listening to his word and loving him, looking for his footsteps to follow him. We ask you, Lord, to give gifts of the Holy Spirit liberally in this church for the common good, and that you'd give us all wisdom and courage to identify and use them for one another's sake. We thank you for the church family, Lord. We thank you for its head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you might bless all of this to each of us, and that you might bless us to one another as well. Thank you for drawing our lines in pleasant places in 2023, seeing to all of our needs, hearing our prayers, and filling us with grace. We ask that you do so again in the following year. Send us home now, we pray, with your blessing, with thoughts and prayers about you and ourselves, our families, and one another, and hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake and for our good. Amen.